Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. What a tremendous verse. Keep your place there, but turn over to Psalm 105. I'll give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make his deeds known, make known his deeds among the people. We find that this psalm, as it begins here in 1 Chronicles, comes after David had successfully, at last, moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He had learned to bow to the Word of God. He had learned to bow to the sovereignty of God, God's right to say what should be and when. So this establishes the song to sing, and it acknowledges. Couldn't quite get that out. It acknowledges the very presence of the Lord. And it could be our motto, because it's three things here. There's prayer, praise, then prayer, and then preaching. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And so a Thanksgiving message that I believe is one that can encourage us and strengthen us in this area of praise. There is a whole theology of thanksgiving, and I was looking over my computer notes, and I was surprised to find that I've never actually preached the message, the theology of thanksgiving. I'm going to have to work that one up. To give thanks for all things to God indicates we recognize that he is the one to whom thanks belongs, the one who is in charge, you see. There is that theology. That we give thanks indicates that we recognize that his motives in all of this are good motives, that it is thankworthy, you see. And the fact that we would say anything to him means that we recognize he's listening, that he pays attention to us, that we're not just talking to ourselves here. We give thanks to God, and in all things means that he's controlling all things for the good, our good, the good of others, good of mankind. It is under his control. So let us serve the Lord as Thanksgiving Day arrives in praise, in prayer, and in preaching. First of all, praise. Give thanks unto the Lord. A couple of things here. Think, first of all, speak praise to God. Give thanks unto the Lord. So first of all, speak praise to God. Jehovah is the author of all of our benefits, every good thing. I mentioned a while back, every bad thing that hasn't happened to you yet is of his mercy. So Jehovah is the author of all of our benefits. Therefore, let us give to him all of our gratitude. So thank him for what he has done. As you give praise to God, focus on his mercy that he didn't give you what you deserve, and for your salvation that he gave you what you didn't deserve. But I think far greater than what he has done, we ought to be praising him for who he is. This is the very heart of worship. This is where we take the time to understand what he has revealed of himself in the Word of God. So thank him for who he is. To do this, you need to understand God as he reveals himself. We recognize in our own lives that actions come from the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Actions come from the heart. To become the Christian that God wants us to be, we need to learn who he is. We will reflect God as we understand him. Matthew Henry said this: we must give thanks to him as one who has always been our bountiful benefactor and requires only that we give him thanks for his favors. Poor returns for such rich receivings. He's done all of that, and all he asks is thanks. So speak praise to God, but let's move on and give thanks unto the Lord before men. Let us speak praise to men, speak praise of God to men. So praise God before men. Let them hear Psalm 22:22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I think of this every time I hear us singing or any special music. Here it is done to the praise of God, and so it's a very personal thing. See, but it's done in the midst of the congregation. And so it is done to declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So praise God before men. You're praising God, but you're allowing people to hear. Then praise God in the concepts of men. Translate God's works to men. Psalm 149:1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye Jehovah. Sing unto Jehovah a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. So let us take what God has done and interpret this to the people around us. People can say, oh, evolution versus creation. They don't understand how demoralizing it is to live life according to an evolutionist concept. That we are cosmic accidents, machines built by accident that have no purpose, no reason to exist, no reality of life. Love is an illusion. Beauty is an illusion. Communication is an illusion. What is life worth? But to be created so that God could share his love with us, there is purpose to last a lifetime and beyond. All right, praise. The second part of this is prayer. And we've been talking about prayer, so I don't need to dwell on that much. But he says, call upon his name. Matthew Henry says on this passage, call upon his name as one whom you depend upon for further favors. Praying for further mercies is accepted as an acknowledgement of former mercies. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him. And so the prayer asking identifies him as the one from whom all blessings flow. So two things concerning prayer. Pray for God's will to be done. As we pray, we've been talking about working through prayer. And this is identifying what God is planning to do, praying that His will be done. This is not trying to bend His will to our will. See, that doesn't work in the area of the sovereign God. He is the one who's making the decisions. And as we said, this prayer business is God including us, not in the decision making, but in the application of the decision, that He will actually get this done. So as we come before Him even tonight, lay your requests before His feet. There's no demanding here. There's no saying, look, this must be done. You have to do this, you see. I would say be careful even in, as we pray over and over and over again, keep laying it at His feet. Don't say, I'm going to wear Him down. Finally, He's going to do it. We have a couple of illustrations in the Scripture where the people ask and ask and ask and demanded and demanded, and finally God said, okay. First was, the answer to it was King Saul. Bad mistake. Led them into some bad areas. And the other was King Hezekiah praying, oh, please, 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 let me live longer, longer, longer. See? And that's when he was miraculously healed. The Babylonians came. He says, I want to show you everything I have. Isaiah tells him, because of that, they'll be back and overcome this whole nation. It would have been better for him to say, I would like to live. I would like to see what's going on. But I lay this at your feet. You, the wise God, choose for me. So pray for God's will to be done. That is the extent of our prayer life, asking for His will to be done. And then pray for our needs to be met. This acknowledges God's role in your daily life. Don't assume that because there's money in the bank, because there's a job that's paying you a paycheck, that you've got that covered, you see. There is nothing certain in this life except God. And so if He doesn't supply your need by the job, He can supply it in another way. If the market falls and your savings go away, God is the constant. Learn to trust Him through these things, and not those things instead of God. So acknowledge God's role in your daily life. Pray for our needs to be met. Christ said, give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't even ask for a whole week's worth. Just ask for this day. And then the third area is preaching. Preaching sounds like what only the pastor, the preacher, is doing, but this is the word that indicates proclaiming. And that's what each one of us must do. It is the proclaiming. Make known His deeds among the people. Spurgeon said wisely, let the heathen hear of our God. So we tend to say, oh, they don't want to hear that. Well, of course, they're not asking for it. See? Let the heathen hear of our God, that they may forsake their idols and learn to worship Him. The removal of the ark was a fit occasion for proclaiming aloud the glories of the great King, and for publishing to all mankind the greatness of His doings. For it had a history in connection with the nations, which it was well for them to remember with reverence. The ark had a little side journey there, causing a great deal of trouble while it was gone. So tell of His mighty deeds. The two great works that you can always speak of is His creation and His salvation. tell of his mighty deeds. Ultimately, finally, the gospel story is God's mightiest work. And you have been a front row participant of that gospel story. You can say, God has touched my life. I have been changed because of his work. So tell of his mighty deeds. But then share also, tell of his infinite character. Proclaim his deeds among the people. And this speaks of his character. Communicate the love and justice of God. Again, Matthew Henry said this, make known his deeds. And again, Psalm 105:1, which repeats this. Make known his deeds that others may join with you in praising him. Talk of all his wondrous works as we talk of things that we are full of with and much affected with and desire to fill others with. God's wondrous works ought to be the subject of our familiar discourses with our families and friends as you gather together for Thanksgiving. Let your speech turn to God's wondrous works. And we should talk of them as we sit in the house and as we go by the way, not merely for entertainment, but for the exciting of devotion, to excite people to devotion and the encouraging of our own and others' faith and hope in God. Even sacred things may be the matter of common talk, provided it be with due reverence. So let's take the opportunity of a Thanksgiving day and spread the praise, the prayer, and the preaching of our great God.